A 13-year-old girl goes missing. No one says anything. The parents, they say she was just being rebellious and figured she would return someday. This is the case of Erica Parsons, of course. The Rowan County girl was last seen in November of 2011. Her brother reported her missing last month. It's a bizarre and tragic case that doesn't make sense. The girl that no one noticed is now receiving lots of attention, though. This week, the program Dr. Phil had two shows on the case. Erica's adoptive father, Sandy Parsons, took a polygraph as part of the show. Yesterday, the results were revealed.
You said, did you have a plan to cause Erica's disappearance? And his answer to both questions was?
No.
All right. And you say here that the results to both questions was strongly deceptive.
That's correct.
This past Sunday, a story in the Charlotte Observer gave some insight into Erica's life and how she could disappear and no one notice. Michael Gordon was one of the reporters on that story, and he joins us now. First of all, how could something like this have happened in the first place? A teenage girl go missing for 2 years and seemingly no one notices.
There's no real simple answer. I was talking to Superior Court Judge Lisa Bell about this, and she said a lot of dominoes had to fall into place. And in fact, with Erica, they apparently did. A lot of decisions that were made were probably for the best, and it remains to see how they will turn out.
What do you mean by those? What decisions do you mean?
Well, Erica was put up for adoption by her biological mom,
right.
And she ended up being adopted by other members of the mom's family. In general, adoption experts see that as a good thing. Less disruptive to the child, and the placement can be quicker. The adoption agencies normally give a little bit of bent toward families, and in many cases, it works really, really well for everybody involved. In this case, that's another matter. There was a decision later on when in 2002 there was an abuse complaint filed by somebody. Was it a family member? Was it a neighbor? But a complaint was filed against Erica's adopted parents, accusing them of abusing their adopted daughter.
And is that what prompted the social service visits to begin?
Yes. It's the only record we have, and we have that based on some records that WSOC, to give them credit for it. But apparently what took place was a family assessment.
And is that the non-adversarial approach that you wrote about
exactly.
in the article?
Exactly. In 2001, DSS adopted a new statewide policy. I think, in essence, at the risk of sounding too simplistic, they were tired of being the bad guy and taking kids out of families and things like that. So the new priority was placed in trying to keep the families whole. And so there are two levels of investigation. One of them is a family assessment in which the DSS caseworker goes into the home, meets with the family together. The goal is to give the family advice, tools, contact numbers on how they can solve a problem instead of looking for a means to necessarily take the child out of the home. But caseworkers, particularly veterans and some child advocates, look at this as raising the possibility that things will be missed. So did the caseworker miss some things with Erica? She said there was no signs of abuse. She said the child showed no fear of her mom and dad, that she voluntarily climbed in their laps without being asked to. And so the case was investigated, and to DSS's point of view, it was closed.
So some of Erica's family members have come forward since this story has broken and said that there may have been some abuse going on. Why not before that? Why now? What did they tell you when you talked to them?
Well, it's a key question here. If you want to go back to the original question about how this could happen, most often government agencies rely on somebody in the family to say something. In this case, the Parsons and their extended family did not. It bears striking similarity to the Zara Baker case in Hickory, in which abuse allegedly occurred there that the family did not speak about and neighbors did not speak about until the story blew up. The family members here are a little evasive about their role and responsibility, but experts say it falls to them to act like a family. And if they suspect abuse, then someone has to take it on to report that abuse.
Well, Michael Gordon, thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it.
It's good to be here.